Working lots with Sidney Crosby. Have you been watching his season so far? How's your work been looking?
Yeah, I've been watching him, and I always try as much as I can to deflect his performance and my work, because it's not all me that creates those amazing things that people see every night. But it's so important for me from a learning experience to be tuned into what he's doing and try to see things and then talk to him during the season and get a perspective on how he's feeling. And I've just been really impressed. You know, it's a condensed season, so it's a much more difficult workload than normal. There's increased travel that you have, like, with the different changes in conferences, and then of course having to go to the Olympics, traveling, several time zones, coming back, playing in the final game. So there's no question about it, that's a real good challenge, huge challenge, and I think that he's done a really, really good job managing his energy through the season and doing what he needs to do to recover so that he's ready, and hopefully that carries into the playoffs.
So you say you have a little bit of communication with him. What sort of stuff do you discuss with him? Anything he works on through you throughout this long season?
I think that he's got a really good staff in Pittsburgh, a lot of the times when we're talking, it's really, how are you feeling? You know, is there anything that's going on? And a lot of times he'll bounce questions off me or get different ideas, and we'll, have some discussions, but sort of integratingly, with the stuff that he's doing there in Pittsburgh. And he's just always wanting to get better, always wanting to maximize what he's doing. And so I think with that comes all those conversations on, what he can do day in and day out. And so really it's those types of conversations. And sometimes, it's more, chatting a little bit about how he's feeling from a performance perspective, so that I can take that and, try to make what we're doing from an off-season perspective better to make sure he's more prepared moving forward.
Anything particular you see on the ice where you sit there as his strength and conditioning guy and go, yeah, I see why he's doing that. I see how he was working on that in the off-season and how you were involved with it?
Yeah, I think so. At one point in time, getting fit gave you a competitive advantage in the game, and now every player's fit. So just having good fitness and having the endurance to do what you're doing through a full game is no longer a competitive advantage. So really the training has evolved to a point where you're trying to help players make more plays, and there's all kinds of plays. There's plays pulling a puck out of a corner, pulling it off the half wall, carrying it off the rush, protecting the puck with speed, increasing or decreasing the turning radius in your turns. All of those things have physical components to them, and the biomechanics that are involved in those things are very specific. And I'm a big believer that in your off-season training, you have to watch players play, look for the biomechanical flaws, and then try to correct those when you're playing, and really try to connect the dots between what you're observing off ice and what's actually happening from an on-ice perspective. So that's pretty much an ongoing conversation between Sidney and I during the season. Then we discuss it in the off season and try to adapt accordingly.
So with those sort of things, what is it that Sidney Crosby can do? What is it that his body can do that other players can't?
One, he's low. He's low to the ground. So he's got incredible hamstring flexibility. So the angle of his hip when he does like a straight leg raise is about 120 degrees, almost 130 degrees. The average player is about 90 degrees. So he's about 20 to 30 degrees more in hamstring flexibility. So it allows him to get really, really low to the ground. He also has really flexible ankles, so he can dorsiflex his ankle more, just allowing him to get to that low position. So if your center mass is lower than the next person, it's really hard to knock you off the puck. He's also got really strong single leg strength. So I think you'll notice a lot of the times in turning applications, in skating applications, when he's trying to lean on someone to protect the puck, or he's trying to like transfer weight from side to side, whether he's crossing his feet or just a forward stride, he's really strong in that single leg position. So some players, when they get into a single leg stance, they have this sort of collapse, and they're not able to produce a lot of force from that perspective. He produces as much force from a single leg position than he does from a lot of double leg positions. So it allows him to be strong when he's moving dynamically, not just strong in a static position. So those are really the two things. He's low and he's really, really strong on one leg.
So then I know you work with Matt Duchene as well. And from my perspective, just sort of from the outside, they look like relatively similar players with the low center of gravity and stuff like that. What kind of differentiates their bodies and makes them different players? Who's good at what, just opposed to each other?
Genetically, Sid is really strong. and really, really stable and has really good range of motion. So we do a ton of work on speed. So we work on foot speed and acceleration, do a lot of plyometrics. With Matt, he's got this really fast twitch muscle fiber, and he's sort of predisposed for like shorter strides and really quick feet, but not necessarily the strength. So we do actually a lot of strength work, and we do a little bit less jumping and explosive work and a little bit more stability type work and a ton of flexibility because we really have to work on overcoming some of the stiffness that his body's really built for. So two totally different approaches, but we're ultimately trying to produce a similar type of player. They're both centermen. Matt's a smart player, and I think this year he's made a lot of plays to other players. I think he's learned his passing game and his playmaking game a lot, in addition to the individual skills that he has. And I think you'll notice Matt this year and probably last year, you'll notice him hang on to the puck to make plays, using his body to protect the puck. You know, when somebody hits him, you know, he's able to take a step and gain that positional advantage, and then, you know, pretty much own that one-on-one battle situation. And so part of it is training your body to be able to go into those positions, and then the other part of it is just the awareness. So I think with Matt we've created a lot of discussions around having an attack mentality, having the confidence to try those plays, and then the more you try those plays, the better you get at them, and then ultimately you make them more in your game.
All right, last question, just out of curiosity, between those two, who would win a 100-meter running race and who would win a 3-kilometer running race?
Oh boy, I'm really on the spot here now. These guys literally battle head to head, really, really hard. And ironically, Sid and Nathan MacKinnon and Matt all train together, and we have a lot of races. We do agility stuff, we do speed work, plyometric work, stuff in the sand. And I can tell you, it's pretty close between those three. And it's really great, you know, for Sid to have two of the fastest players in the league to really compete against. No question the long-distance stuff, Sid's got that. You know, he's got really, really good endurance. I think Nathan and Sid and Matt are both, you know, more fast twitch. They're a little bit more built for the short stuff. And I would say that, you know, Matt and Nathan probably have a little bit of an edge day-to-day. But Sid seems to have this, like, intimidation factor, you know. He just kind of has this, like, alpha male character that allows him to win when it comes down to a final race or a little competition. He's very competitive, so I think I'd have to give the edge to Sid on that one.
All right, so I got to ask you one more now. You mentioned Nathan MacKinnon. He's significantly younger than those two, so you're putting him in the rivalry. Is that to say that 3, 4, 5 years from now, MacKinnon will own them physically?
You know what? I don't think so, but I think that he brings a great element because he's just young and ambitious and full of fire, and it's just a really healthy energy to have around. And I think it's so great to see people like Sid rub off on Nathan and Matt and really share his experience. And he's so mature, Sid, even for a 26-year-old, he really just carries a lot of like veteran experience. But I really love the competitive battles that Matt brings. And then, of course, Nate, just that youth and energy, I think it really brings a new element and really challenges Sid and keeps things fresh for him. So, yeah, there's a cool dynamic between the three.
Andy O'Brien, all-star strength and conditioning coach. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks so much.